BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Today was a great day on The Scott Mills Show. We played the whole of Avril Lavigne's Let Go debut album, but you won't hear that because there's no music allowed on the podcast. Boo! However, you will get a Christmas party special, 24 years at the Tap End, featuring Chris's first encounter with a cougar. Also, our first encounter with a honey badger. What the? And also, what are we going to call our Christmas group? Because we've made the song, but what do we call ourselves?
BBC Radio 1.
Let's see who's keen, shall we? Brett, are you keen?
I'm Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne is good for today. Sarah, are you keen?
Yes, I'm Mary Keen of Scots.
Oh, that's a good one. And Bish, are you keen?
Joaquin Phoenix,
good. Excellent. Right, I think we're just about ready. Theme tune?
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the Tap End. At the Tap End.
So Becky's not on today, but we are joined by possibly Tap End's biggest fan. Rihanna off of Films is here.
I am a huge Tap End fan.
It's lovely to have her here.
It is.
It's a bit laddie with you two.
Yeah.
You're a bit lads.
I've never been called a lad before.
So, I think sometimes I bring out the lad in you.
You do, and therefore it's good to have a female perspective.
That's weird, actually.
Sorry, which are we playing innuendo? And no, you just, like, conned me into
it. I retract that.
Okay, what's going on?
I'm going to take you both to my 16th year at the Tap End, if you're keen.
I am keen Kardashian.
Oh. Yes. I'm going to be Professor Stephen Hawkins.
And I'm Torvalding Keen.
You've been waiting for that all
That's
day.
That's my favourite.
I asked you what your keen was going to be and you wouldn't tell me.
No.
Brilliant.
Right.
Right, well, I'm ready.
Ready.
The weather had turned a lot colder in recent weeks. The year was beginning to wind down, and excitement was building with Christmas now not too far away. Mock exams had finished at school, which pretty much meant that there was a free run up to Christmas, and lots of fun to be had. Me and the lads would spend a large amount of our time at that age at a tennis club, where we were all members of. It even led to my first proper job, which was helping the tennis coach, a guy called Bailey, with his tennis lessons. This taught me a lot. I wasn't really good enough to be a decent coach. In fact, many of the kids I was teaching was better than me. But all the same, it was my first experience of proper responsibility and paid employment.
Did that annoy you a bit?
It was just awkward, because it's very hard to coach someone at something if they are better than you.
Already.
Yeah. Did you ever go like a bit power hungry and kind of like start ordering them about the tennis court and making them pick up all the balls and stuff?
Yeah, of course. I like to instill discipline in my lessons. Well, no, because you've all got to learn your own teaching style, haven't you?
What was yours then?
Well, I was very much of that mentality of sort of discipline. So, like, for example, I would just throw the balls everywhere and then just get them to pick it up.
That sounds horrible.
No, there was carrot as well.
What?
Well, that's the phrase, isn't it? Carrot and stick.
But there was a carrot as well.
Well, I'd reward them as well.
With carrots?
like a donkey.
For good behaviour. Otherwise, they'd take advantage.
So they were naughty, and then you gave them carrots.
No, forget that. I think I've got the phrase wrong. I'm sure it was something like carrot and stick, but maybe that's just the name of a pub. The tennis club was a good place to meet girls. There was no real standouts, but a group of quite nice average girls. And at our age, we were happy with that.
Chris, you can't say that!
Why? There's nothing wrong with average. I'm average. I'm as average as they get. The tennis club also offered a unique chance to meet some older ladies.
Oh, Chris.
The membership of the club ranged quite broadly between the ages of 8 and 80.
How old were they?
Oh, my God.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
Oh. As an 80-year-old.
No, I'm not saying I pulled an 80-year-old. Okay. I'm saying that our tennis coach wasn't too happy with the lack of tennis being played on junior evening. So he suggested that a few of us started to play tennis on a Friday morning, where the adult social was played. Me, Dougsy and Webbo had been attending these sessions for the last month or so now, and I have to say I was really enjoying them. Rather than just the junior evening girls, we were meeting some more sophisticated women. They were all a lot older than us, but very friendly. Especially one, a housewife called Irene.
How much older was she?
I don't know, it was hard to put an age on it because it was...
It? How did you just call a woman it?
No, what I just mean, it was a difficult one because she had youthful ways.
Oh, goodness.
And she was a good tennis player, I'll give her that.
I'd like to hear more.
I always enjoyed playing with her. She wasn't the best player, but she was very funny and had an air of confidence I found quite endearing in an older woman. She had the ability to turn anything into an innuendo, especially with the amount of tennis terms that would be used throughout the game. Balls, net, smash, juice, for example.
There's a lot.
I don't get the net one.
I don't know, but that was her skill. She managed to turn everything into... You're a bit like that, though, Rihanna, don't you? Like, generally around about the building. Like,
rubbish.
He's saying that you're filth.
I'm not saying that.
I bet I'm not as filthy as Irene.
The whole club was excited about the one time of the year absolutely everyone would join together, the annual Christmas party. I was really looking forward to it, as there wasn't that many nights that you could go out on age 16, especially a proper party like this. The day of the Christmas party came about. It was a big day. Me, Dougsy and Webbo suited up at Dougsy's. I even polished my school shoes for the occasion. We cycled there together. Even as we parked up the bikes, you could feel the exciting atmosphere. The clubhouse had been decorated really nicely. It was like a completely new place. We were one of the first people there, and we were greeted on entry with a glass of champagne.
Wait, were you allowed that?
Due to the strict rules, we all no doubt on the champagne. So I went and got myself a blue panda pop from the bar. Everyone was stood around awkwardly. I avoided the table football and stood there talking to Dougsy when I heard a voice say, "Hello, Mr. Stark." I turned around. It was Irene in full-on Christmas party dress mode.
You made her sound like a Bond villain. Hello, Mr. Stark.
No, it wasn't like that. I think she was just being over-friendly.
Was she a bit like Pussy Galore?
I went in for a cheek kiss. I've always thought it's weird how Christmas parties is one of the only time of the year you cheek kiss people you never normally do. Panda pop in hand, I gave her a single to the left cheek. She leant down for double. I did my best to style it out. It was one of those awkward ones where... Ooh,
did you smash, like, faces or anything?
No, I just, I went to the left cheek. And that went fine, but then she lent him for
another one.
Yeah. Oh.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
This is before you came up with your new ingenious method to avoid this awkwardness. Have you seen this, Rihanna?
No.
Okay.
Well, we've all been in this situation, you know, let's say we've met each other and I go for one kiss, you're a sophisticated lady, you want to go for two.
Yeah.
So to avoid that completely, I take control of the situation and...
Demonstrate.
Why are you edging towards this? Me?
No, this is what you do.
So let's say we've just met each other.
Yeah.
Hello.
So it's like, instead of that, I just...
Forehead.
I grab you by the head and just go straight to the forehead.
Okay, yeah, wasn't expecting that.
Just one on the forehead.
Nice.
Because that just gets rid of the awkwardness.
Yeah, and that's just lets me intimate. Take control.
A forehead kiss is quite intimate.
Really?
Yeah. Not the way you did it, but usually.
After dinner, the tables were cleared and the DJ turned on some lights and cranked up the music. I've never really been a dancer, but due to the amount of old people there, everyone was posh dancing.
When you say posh dance, you mean like proper, like ballroomy?
Yeah, it was
oh,
like...
Oh, that's so cute.
You know, like when there's the first dance at a wedding?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all... By then, you're not doing Gangnam Style, are you? You don't go straight in with a macarena.
The what?
With a macarena.
Oh, is that how you say it?
How do you say it?
The macarena.
Okay, you don't go straight in with
macarena.
A macarena.
Don't you make out that that's posh. Stop it.
Oh, macarena.
It is!
Yeah, Macarena.
How very downtown of you.
Oh, shut up.
Downton.
This was even more awkward and unfair on the younger lads like us, who were not familiar with waltzes and jives. We stood to the side, watching everyone, and then she came towards me. Irene grabbed me by the hand and moved me to the middle of the floor. Not a clue what I was doing, I attempted to twirl her a couple of times. Halfway through each attempt, she seemed to get stuck. But she was a professional woman and knew how to twirl back again and make it look good.
What do you mean a professional woman?
You know when you dance with a lady and all you generally do is you, in these posh dances, hold them by the hand and then every now and then you sort of lean an arm out and they twirl round.
I'm pretty sure that's not all you're supposed to do. Do you watch Strictly?
Yeah, but I think that is genuinely all you do at these kind of parties. Honestly, I don't really think there's...
It's really not.
I think there's a bit more to it than that.
Yeah, a little bit.
So what would happen is I would lean out my arm for her to twirl, but then she'd kind of get stuck halfway around the twirl and then
would
come
you keep
back
your
again.
Hand there and not like sort of let go so she could continue spinning and then grab her back?
Is that how you do
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Because to this day I've had this problem with that twirl thing, exactly oh how you nail it.
Everyone gets stuck, do they?
It's weird. And then you've kind of got to go spin back, spin back.
Okay, you and me, Chris, at the Christmas party, we're going to sort you out.
Yeah. I learnt that is all what posh dancing is, really. You hold someone by the hand and perform the occasional turn.
It's not, though.
It's not. It's really
not. I felt good. It was like being on Strictly Come Dancing. She had shown me how to dance. I even knelt down and bowed at the end of the song. I think this was a step too far, though. People were laughing.
Wait, hold on, sorry. You knelt and you bowed?
Yeah. Sort of kissed her and, like, knelt down. I sort of went like that and then kissed her hand.
Oh my goodness, like in medieval times.
It was too far. It was a magical evening, and with my newfound dancing confidence and persuasion from Dougsy, I decided that I should dedicate a song to Irene.
Oh no, oh God, no, 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 no!
The Love Shack was playing, but I asked the DJ if there was any song I could play for Irene. He said he'd play it next. I took Irene by the hand as the DJ announced that this next song was for Chris and his favourite lady. I've got the audio for what he then played.
Okay, do you want me to be the DJ?
What I thought would be nice, yeah, if you'd be the DJ and do the dedication. So I was standing there with Irene. Love Shack had just finished. And then you were on.
And here's a song for Chris and his special lady.
Hit play.
Did you dedicate that to her? Is that the one he picked because he misheard you say Irene?
Yes, that's exactly the problem.
That's amazing.
Come on, Irene.
The song took me by surprise, but me and Irene started to shuffle slightly. People looked on after the DJ's introduction. Then I realised his mistake. This was Come On Eileen, which was wrong on a number of different levels. I saw Dougsy and Webbo realise what was going on, and they were laughing hard. It was an awkward 3.5 minutes, and I felt the need to apologise every time it got to the chorus.
Did you?
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Sorry.
It was an honest mistake, though, and my first experience dancing with an older woman. Looking back, I'm not sure if Irene was an actual cougar, or perhaps an over-friendly lady who enjoys the company of younger men. I stopped doing the Friday sessions not too long after that, so I didn't see Irene again, unfortunately. But if she's listening, which she may well be, as she always seemed to enjoy younger things, I hope you're well. I can't imagine her on two.
She'd not be listening to two.
No, she'd love Radio 1.
Would she still?
Oh, what a night. Late December back in 2003. What a lady. What a night. It's another song, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Gotta borrow it.
Theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good news, everyone. We have finished writing our Christmas song. You know, we're trying to make the ultimate Christmas single. I'm actually really proud of this. I think we all are. And hopefully we can play it for you on Monday afternoon, the finished thing, as we try and make the ultimate Christmas single ever. We can have our own world exclusive on Monday afternoon. We can play it. We are getting advice all the time from some of our Christmas greats in this country. Noddy Holder's been on a lot, helping us with it. Michael Bublé, who of course pretty much owns Christmas, he's given us some advice as well. And Frisky and Manish, our mates, have helped us out to making the song.
I mean, it's all going so well, but the only thing we haven't really sorted is like the name of our group. So like what the name of our group could be, the name of the artist on this single. So it should be like Scott Mills and the Christmas Crackers, right? I know, but that's where...
Better.
Yeah.
Okay, so is my name above the doors?
I think so. It should be like a bit like Gareth Gates and the Kumars.
Oh, right, sure.
This isn't what this song is going
to
be.
We're
like
trying to move away from that, thank you.
It could be Scott Mills and the...
Something.
The Kumars, but something else.
Scott Mills and the Kumars.
No, not the Kumars. Let's move away from the Kumars. Because we've taken this song quite seriously. I mean, for us...
I haven't even thought that we haven't given ourselves a name.
I know. This is a problem.
We've been trying to make a classic Christmas song. What about Scott Mills and One Direction? That's just suggested from them, one that doesn't speak.
That would be good in terms of, like, Twitter and that.
Yeah. But they're not on it.
And publicity, well, I don't know if we can say
that. Well, they'll let us say that, won't they?
I don't know if that's how it works.
We're old friends.
But Scott Mills and the something, that's what we need.
Feel free to suggest on 81199, Twitter, at BBCR1. So, we hope it's going to be a classic. We hope it's going to be played for years. We've got every single element that we've been told needs to be in there. We've got jingle bells. We've got a slightly sad story. We've got loads of things that happen at Christmas mentioned in there. There's a political message or two. It's hard to spot those. And hopefully it will be almost as good as this next song that I'm about to play you.
I'm not sure about some of the suggestions already coming in. Scott Mills and the Savaloys. I'm not sure that's really it.
No.
Mills and the Mistletoes. That's, I think, getting there.
Well, it's got an M and an M.
Okay.
Well, it's
working
process.
Scott Mills and his baubles, I'm not sure about either. I mean,
Mills and the mince pies.
Pigs in blankets, yeah, not bad shout.
Scott Mills and his pigs in blankets.
I kind of like that.
We'll have it for you, our own world exclusive first play on Monday afternoon.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Okay, it's time for Real or No Real. Chris Smith off the news. He likes to tell you some facts. Some of them are real, some of them are not. You've just got to guess, real or no real. Easy to play along, an easy way to get Scott Mills points. 10 of them if you can get them correct on 81199. Let me know how you do, please. Here's your first one.
The first remote control took 8 minutes to change channels.
I can imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, these old school things. I'll tell you what was interesting. I managed to find on the internet... Oh, it's not that interesting, actually. But I managed to find a really old episode of Tomorrow's World. Just because I was interested to see what, 20 years ago, they would think... would be like big technology now.
What were they predicting?
It's really quite sad. It's like it's like massive mobiles and things like that. It's like, this is the future.
However, mobiles were big to start with, then went tiny, and now are going quite big again, smartphones.
You think it's going the other way?
One of my mates has got a new smartphone that's like massive. They're going the other way again.
Yeah.
Do you remember those remote controls you can get, which could, I think they still do them, which control everything?
Yeah.
All for one?
Yeah. But the thing is, we used to have, I should admit this, like in my school, I had a remote control watch. And they were proper old school, but what was great is when the teacher was put on a video and that, you could sort of fast forward it and it really confused my old history
teacher.
Well,
it worked on the video?
It was great, yeah. You had to sync it up.
Which you did, of course.
And then you could just sort of skip through. It was amazing.
Anyway, real or no real?
8 minute remote, no. I'm going to say no real.
That one is a no real.
Yeah.
10 points to you, sir. Next.
The last confirmed sighting of a unicorn was in Dundee in 1989.
Now, I was under the understanding unicorns don't exist, so I'm thinking this could be a trick question. But I'm going to look stupid either way, aren't I? Even the fact that I'm questioning it. So...
Not saying anything.
I'm saying the last confirmed sighting, this is nonsense.
Why is it nonsense?
Well, because I'm saying there isn't such thing as a unicorn, is it?
So they're not, they don't exist. But, what are you on about?
Yeah, I know, but you've done this before where you try and... I'm going to say no real.
No real, you're saying?
No real.
You sure?
Yeah.
Dundee, 1989. I bet some people will text in now and say they saw it.
I don't think they will, because I don't think it exists.
That one is no real.
Yeah. Oh, there we are then. Just checking. Next!
The honey badger is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's most fearless creature.
Is that one?
The honey badger? Never even heard of it.
Is that like Honey Boo Boo?
What's a Honey Boo Boo?
It's my new favourite TV show.
Is it?
Yeah? I've told you about Honey Boo Boo.
You've told me about this before, yeah.
A family that live in Georgia.
Right.
They're quite fat. And they've got a child that enters beauty pageants all the time because they make her. They need to put that on here, by the way. If any channel's listening, get that. It's the best reality show ever. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, it's called.
But a honey badger, that's what we're talking about here, right?
Sorry, yeah, I just went off on one.
But the most fearless doesn't necessarily mean the most vicious, does it? So, but how do they test that? Do you know what I mean? It's not doing skydives or anything, is it?
I'd quite like to see that.
Yeah, this honey badger. There's all these different challenges, you know.
Jump out the plane.
He's like a thrill-seeking badger.
Yeah. Cool, then.
Sorry, I'm going to go real.
That one is real.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see the auditions and the how they decide that.
The smell of freshly cut grass is actually the scent released by plants in distress.
Oh, no, I think this, if true, is going to be the fact of the day. It makes you sad.
Yeah, because I love that smell, but now I think, oh, the poor plants. Help me.
You're suggesting the plants are suffering then when you're enjoying
them. If they're in distress while I'm enjoying the smell, I don't feel so good about that.
Again, I wonder what they can be in distress about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, how hard is it to be a plant?
Yeah. Just.
Oh, okay. I've been watered again. Busy day in the office.
I can't remember the question now, so I'm kind of...
Okay.
The smell of freshly cut grass is actually the scent released by plants in distress.
Right.
Help!
Okay.
Help!
I'm saying no real.
That one is real.
Hey! What kind of distress can they possibly be in?
Well, I hate that smell now.
Getting that checked.
Just for the plant fans. Next.
Lion attacks can be prevented by telling them you are friends with Simba.
So imagine, think about it. Imagine I'm a great big lion. Raw. Okay, we're in Africa somewhere.
Okay.
And I come up to you and I look like I'm about to attack you.
Okay.
Raw, go.
If I'm mates with Simba, that's not going to make you back off. But if I did it.
No, I was trying to reenact it. I'm a lion. Raw.
I don't ever do that to me again.
Say
I can't
it.
Take that seriously.
Say it. I'm a lion.
I'm mates with Simba. See?
And what happens?
But you're not a convincing enough lion to make this a true test. I'm saying maybe if you said that as a roar, it might sort of freak it out a bit and send it back. I can't do it. I wouldn't make a good lion. But I'm going to say this is a no-reel based on the fact that probably most lions haven't seen Lion King.
Of course they have.
Right, well, I'm saying no-reel.
That one is a no-reel.
What do you mean? Everyone's seen Lion King. Anyway, at the end of that round of real or no real...
I got 40 points.
That's very good. That's a very, very good score.
Thank you.
All the Honey Boo Boo fans are on now. I know it's on YouTube. And let me know how you got points-wise today. What did you do? How many did you get? 8-1-9-9. Good way to top them up every afternoon at 3:40 on Real or No Real.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I can't believe we didn't think of a name for the band that made the song that we're going to play on Monday, our ultimate Christmas single. Union Gay?
No.
That's too close to Union J.
Mm.
No. I still think the best one, and the one that doesn't speak agrees with me, is Scott Mills and the Pigs in Blankets.
Yeah.
It's Christmassy. It's what you have at Christmas. but potentially offensive to other members involved in the making of the track. Because I'm calling them pigs in blankets.
I love those, though.
But you're one of them.
That's fine.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So Thursday's show will include innuendo bingo tomorrow at 1:45. Remember to witness the wetness live on the Radio 1 website. You can watch us. It takes it to the next level. Join us tomorrow, 1 till 4.
Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.